Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live down the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
Good evening. Welcome to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. We are streaming live on the internet from London. This show is dedicated to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On tonight's program, we'll be discussing the first of a five-part series about victory over sin. We'll be studying what the Bible teaches about justification. More about our subject after you've had some music. What is justification? We will discuss this subject tonight with answers from the Bible. Have a pen and paper ready to write down some notes. Tonight, we will be discussing these questions together. What does it mean to be justified? Why do we need to be justified? How are we justified? When are we justified? And what examples does the Bible give about justification? So before we have our study this evening, let us have a word of prayer together, listeners. Heavenly Father, thank you for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio, streaming live on the internet from London. I pray now, Lord, that as we study your word, that your Holy Spirit will be with us and to teach us about justification is our prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, what does it mean to be justified? We read in the book of Job, chapter 25 and verse 4. How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? We read in the book of Psalms, chapter 51 and verse 4. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. The Bible uses the word justified in a legal sense. It relates to God's judgment. To be justified with God is to be clean from sin and to be clear from doing evil. We read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Here we see that the book of Hebrews reinforces this point. God is the judge of all, and we see that just men are men who are made perfect. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 15 and verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. God's ways are just and true. And so a person's ways, who is justified by God, also have to be just and true, or clean from doing evil, in order for God to pronounce the sentence that a person is justified. We also read in the book of Luke, chapter 18 and verses 13 to 14, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus says, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Jesus teaches us that to be justified before God is to recognize that you are a sinner and are in need of God's mercy. So here we see another aspect of justification. Those who realize their need of salvation through Jesus Christ the Lord, God justifies. Now, why do we need to be justified? We read in the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. We read in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible makes it clear that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all transgressed God's law and thus have not represented God rightly with the lives that he has given to us. We read in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. We read in the book 1 John chapter 3 and verses 11 to 14, For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. We have all sinned and come short of the glory or character of God, which is love. By disobeying God, we have become hateful and unloving one towards another. We have separated from the God of love, who created mankind and who gives us life. Therefore, in order for God to be fair to all the other beings in the universe who have not sinned and rebelled against God, God has to have a valid reason to continue to give us life. We read in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 and Romans chapter 3 verse 24. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. All have sinned and transgressed God's law of 10 commandments. We are thus registered as criminals in the sight of heaven and are under a death sentence unless our sins can be pardoned by the government of God. The good news is that justification, pardon for sin, and eternal life is a gift that is offered to each and every one of us freely by God's grace for the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. This is the good news of the gospel and has been the blessed hope of all true Christian believers from Adam down to men today. So how are we justified? We read in the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We read in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace through God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us plainly that we are not justified by the works of the law, which means that we are not justified by any effort that we can do of ourselves. We are justified, pardoned for our sins, only by having faith in Jesus Christ. We read in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verses 23 to 26, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God have set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. God justifies us freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. We are clear before God from our criminal charges of sin and from doing evil when we have faith in the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Redemption from sin is not just to believe in Jesus Christ and then to remain sinning. This is why this series of radio broadcasts is called Victory Over Sin. Our redemption involves not only pardon from sin, justification, but also complete cleansing from sin, sanctification. We will look at how sanctification is vital to redemption in our next radio broadcast. We read in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The Bible makes it clear what allows sinners to be justified before God. Sinners are justified by the blood of Christ. Listeners, if we believe in Jesus Christ and have faith in his blood, then we shall be saved from God's wrath through him. We shall look at how we are justified by the blood of Christ after the break. As we continue to look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, we see that God has set Jesus Christ to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. The word propitiation used by the translators of the King James Version of the Bible is from the Greek word hilasterion. It means an atoning victim, the lid of the Ark of the Testament. We read in the book of Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." We read in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 13 to 14, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Before Jesus came upon this earth, the sacrificial service was provisionally set up in Israel to teach the nation the plan of redemption. God had specifically explained to Moses that the life of the flesh was in the blood. It was the blood that made an atonement, for it was the life in the blood that made an atonement for the soul. Thus the people of Israel were taught that when the Redeemer would come, Jesus Christ, it would be his life, shed through his blood, that would make an atonement for the soul. We read in the book of 1 John chapter 5 in verses 11 to 13, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that have the Son have life, and he that have not the Son of God have not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." We read in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verses 1 to 2, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." We read in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." The law of God is eternal, and only one equal with the law could die for the law and meet its eternal requirements. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the giver of eternal life. He was the eternal God that came in the flesh. This was why God could accept the blood of Jesus Christ provisionally for the sins of the whole world. The merits of Christ's blood, blood given from the life of one who is infinitely powerful and pure, meets the demands of the broken law of God by the sins of the whole world. We can now only begin to comprehend God's infinite wisdom that devised the plan of salvation. Now, when are we justified? We read in the book of Acts chapter 13 and verses 38 to 39. "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him," this is Jesus, "all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." We read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 to 11, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." We read in the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. When a person hears the gospel, listeners, and understands that they have forgiveness of their sins through the substitutionary nature of the atonement, that is, that Christ provisionally paid the penalty for their sins, if they accept the conditions of the salvation that God offers and believe in Christ as their substitute and Saviour, then a person is justified before God. This is because the gospel teaches that we are not only saved from the penalty of our sins, justification, it also teaches that God promises through Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all of our sins, sanctification. We will look at sanctification in the next part of this series. Listeners, God freely pardons us of all our sins through the sacrifice of his Son Jesus Christ, and he also gives us a chance to prove that we are willing to live in harmony with him. As long as we continue to accept that Jesus Christ not only died for our sins in the sight of God, and that he was also resurrected to give us a life free from sin, then we can remain just before God, because God accepts the spotless life of Christ instead of our own sinful one under this agreement. This agreement is called the New Covenant. We read in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 33, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." And so justification by faith is not only just to believe that Jesus has died for our sins, and that by believing alone our record in heaven is clean. Justification by faith means also that we have a clean record before God because we have agreed for him to cleanse us from sin. We are therefore justified when we hear about and understand and accept Jesus Christ as our personal Saviour, when we are willing to be obedient to all of God's commandments and are willing to rely upon Christ's life-giving power. Christ remains then our advocate in heaven. This is why God can be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. A person who accepts Christ not only has his sins covered, but also has the power to live a life free from sin given to him. We will look at how justification and sanctification relate to each other more in part 3 of these series of radio broadcasts. Now, what examples does the Bible give about justification? We read in the book of James chapter 2 and verses 23 to 26. "And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." The Bible records that Abraham and Rahab were justified by God. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. To be just is to be righteous, for as we have studied earlier, a just person is a person who is clean from evil and free from sin. When Abraham believed God, he accepted Christ as a personal Saviour. Christ being Abraham's substitute, the government of God could accept Christ's righteousness instead of sinful Abraham. Justification is therefore when Christ, who has borne our sins, stands in the place of those who believe in him. Abraham could be counted justified by the government of God because he not only believed in Christ, but relied upon Christ. He acted out his belief in doing that which Christ had asked him to. Christ's righteousness was therefore imputed to Abraham. The Bible gives many other examples of individuals being justified by God because of their willingness to comply with the conditions of the plan of salvation. Faith in the atoning merits of Christ, repentance, and obedience to God's will. We will have a break for some music and then come back with some closing thoughts.
Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your
For our closing thoughts this evening, I will read from Manuscript 21, 1891, written on February the 27th, 1891, by Ellen G. White. It reads as follows. As the penitent sinner, contrite before God, discerns Christ's atonement in his behalf and accepts this atonement as his only hope in this life and the future life, his sins are pardoned. This is justification by faith. Every believing soul is to conform his will entirely to God's will and keep in a state of repentance and contrition, exercising faith in the atoning merits of the Redeemer and advancing from strength to strength, from glory to glory. Pardon and justification are one and the same thing. Through faith, the believer passes from the position of a rebel, a child of sin and Satan, to the position of a loyal subject of Christ Jesus, not because of an inherent goodness, but because Christ receives him as a child by adoption. The sinner receives the forgiveness of his sins because these sins are borne by his substitute and surety. The Lord speaks to his heavenly Father, saying, "This is my child. I reprieve him from the condemnation of death, giving him my life insurance policy, eternal life, because I have taken his place and suffered for his sins. He is even my beloved son." Thus the man, pardoned and clothed with the beautiful garments of Christ's righteousness, stands faultless before God. The sinner may err, but he is not cast off without mercy. His only hope, however, is repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Father's prerogative to forgive our transgressions and sins, because Christ has taken upon himself our guilt and reprieved us, imputing to us his own righteousness. His sacrifice satisfies fully the demands of justice. Justification is the opposite of condemnation. God's boundless mercy is exercised toward those who are wholly undeserving. He forgives transgressions and sins for the sake of Jesus, who has become the propitiation for our sins. Through faith in Christ, the guilty transgressor is brought into favor with God and into the strong hope of life eternal. So listeners, with all this in mind, let us pray to close the study this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that as we have looked at part one of this five-part series called What is Justification? If you'd realize, Lord, that justification is not just pardon for sin alone, but it's also to be cleansed from sin as well. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we continue to study your word over these next few weeks, that your Holy Spirit will be with us and will make us realize of the great sacrifice that's been made for us and also of the eternal life that's been offered to us through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that we can have this life daily if we put our trust in him. These things, Lord, I pray and ask humbly and am thankful for in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listeners, if you have any questions or if you'd like more information, please send an email to inquiries@wildernesspublications.org. Or you can send a text message to 07944-062-786. If you have the Android app for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio, go to the ebook section, then find the title Bible Readings for the Home. At chapter 24, you'll find the subject, Justification by Faith. This section will give you more information about today's topic. You can also listen to and download our radio show podcasts at https://voice-in-zethe-wilderness.podcastpage.io/. You can also find our podcasts on Spotify. Search for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio by Wilderness Productions. If you would like to support Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio financially, then please send your donation through our website at vitwradio.org. Click on the page called About Us. You can donate to us there. On next week's show, for part two of this series about victory over sin, we will ask the question, what is sanctification? Well, that's it for tonight's show, listeners. Until next week, good night and God bless.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live on the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.